I'm Matt.
Hey, I'm Steve.
Hey, I'm John.
This is the Sober Friends Podcast. We're here for the sober curious, the new guy, and the old timer. We're here to talk about the stuff anyone looking to live alcohol-free has to face day to day, and how we overcame those struggles. We speak for no 12-step group, but we do try to remain anonymous. You're not alone. This is the Sober Friends Podcast. Tonight on the Sober Friends Podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about anniversaries. Well, I guess it's not nighttime where you are. You could be listening at night, or you could be listening in the morning, or you could be listening anytime. But when we're taping this on March 21st. And the reason we're doing that is, well, it's when we tape, but I'm saying it's March 21st because that's when my anniversary is. So today, as we're taping this, I have 10 years sober. And I will tell you why it's kind of a big deal to me, because I just, and a lot of times felt less than having less than 10 years. It made me feel like a new person. And I'm not, it's just how I felt, but seeing that 10 figure sounds different. Although in reality, it's not much different at all.
Well, happy anniversary, Matt.
Thank you.
I think when you get to certain lengths of sobriety, 10 being one of them, I think 5 is another one, like those sort of...
Let me tell you why 5 was a big deal for me.
Why?
I read somewhere when I first came in that if you get to 5 years, it becomes a better than 50-50 shot you're going to remain sober.
No kidding.
The numbers say that.
Okay.
Want to get to 5.
Yeah, I have never seen that, but I believe that for most of us. And in the rooms, you sort of see that as proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of people do go out, but for the most part, if you do reach that, and if you're working a program, all depends on what you're doing, but you have a really, really good chance of staying sober. So those anniversaries are, it's good to acknowledge them, right? I mean, listen, I text you this morning and you're like, oh shoot, I forgot. And it's like,
I was in such a brain fog this morning,
but I'm going to tell you something that happens to me too. I don't pay a lot of attention to it. And it's not all the time. It depends on what's going on, but there have been times where I wake up and I've just forgotten completely that it was my anniversary. And that's okay too. You know, like I said, so some of them are bigger than others, and 10 is a nice one. It is nice to get in those double digits because the truth is that's all you're ever going to get, right? You're only going to be able to get double digits. And so it's nice to get there.
So the reason that I'm bringing this up is less to celebrate me, but it's an opportunity to talk about anniversaries in general. Why is it important for anniversaries? If you're a member of a 12-step group, why is it important to get a chip? These things are not about you. I'll take that back. If you go to one of the meetings where you have the monthly anniversaries, I think that is about you. Once you get to 1 year, for me, it stopped being about me. It started being about there are other people that this is for, not me. I'm a role model to show you I could put together a year or 5 years or 10 years that shows the new person who is shaking and baking and is thinking about how am I going to get through a weekend sober, that it is possible, that you can put through periods of sobriety that are lengthy. You can get through this and you can get to that point.
That is the beauty of recognizing them and then seeing them, letting people know that it's possible, letting people know. And that's why it's important for us in the 12-step program to go to meetings and to not only go to meetings, to share at meetings. You and I talk about it all the time,
mm-hmm.
is that not only do we go to meetings, but we share in meetings. And some people think, oh, I don't need to share, I don't have anything to say, or whatever. But I just feel differently. I know, like I said, we've talked about it, that I should go there and share some stuff and share about, in a reasonable manner, about whatever the topic may be or whatever I'm going through, right? Depending on what's going on. Because if I'm going through something, that's way more important for me to share on that than it is on the topic, right? I tell people that all the time. But it's good to go there and share that and talk about it. And that's really good because we do have a few guys, one guy in particular who's been coming to Monday night, who's only got 4 months or something. And it's mm-hmm. nice for us to get up there and show that we can do it. And it's just a way for people to acknowledge it, right? It really is. And then not only that, but there is some acknowledgement of, you know, oh, wow, look at this guy's got 22 years or whatever, 25 or 30 years, and they're still coming to meetings. Why are they doing that, right? That's
right.
The other thing. That's the other thing you get on, like, why are they doing that? You know, and it's just for exactly what you said. It's because it's not about the individual. Is it nice to get those numbers? Yes, of course. Do you feel better? Is your life probably better? Yes, of course.
But, I dig. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, but it's just about coming and being able to give back to the people who are new or whatever, who are struggling. That's why these things are important to talk about and share and acknowledge, for sure.
I dig when I see celebrities posting how long they've been sober. Mm-hmm. Anthony Hopkins has 40 years plus, I think.
Right.
And it is neat to see that. And I think the reason it resonates with me is it's another person that I know who got sober, and it makes me not feel alone. It's less about, ooh, it's a celebrity, so it makes it bigger. The celebrity aspect of it, it's a common person that I know. And even celebrities have their own issues and can find ways to get sober. So when I see something like that, I think I saw Tim Daly had a ridiculous amount of years, maybe a year or two ago. And I like seeing that for nothing less than I can identify and I'm not alone. And especially seeing somebody famous, it helps me because it's not just somebody low bottom. This can affect anyone. Even somebody you look at and say they have nothing to drink over, and yet they do, because it doesn't matter where you are on your social status.
No, I agree. It's nice to see that. I like to see people who are willing to share some of that stuff, like I said, because I think that gets the word out. It gets the word out farther, right? I mean, I could post anywhere, you know, that I have X amount of years and only so many people will read it. But if Anthony Hopkins does it right, it's gonna be a viral thing. It's gonna get out there. Everybody's gonna hear it. Not everybody, but a lot of people are gonna hear it. And so the word gets out there even farther. And it's nice for them to do that, so that they can share that. Again, it's not about them. It's about them letting people know that this is possible. And it really is, you know, listen, some of us can be. I'm a big sports guy, so I've always been a little starstruck by sports people. When I was younger, not anymore. But it's nice to know, you look at these people, and they're just people, right? I mean, if any of these guys came into our room, once you get past that whole big, you know, oh, it's Anthony Hopkins or whoever it might be, they're just another drunk, right? They're just another addict. That's all they are. And the truth is, if they're humble within this program, then that's going to come out as they talk. You know, one of the guys who we've talked about is Dax Shepard, right? Dax Shepard is a big, you know, been in recovery for a while, had some problems with it. I love listening to his stuff. He's very honest about his stuff. He's really, really honest about it. And that's really nice to hear. Somebody who's just, nope, this is it, you know? I mean, there was a big story. We talked about it. And, you know, I'm not breaking anything. This is on his podcast. Where he was, you know, using and drinking and still going to meetings and actually picked up a big coin. And when he finally got clean, I can remember him saying, his sponsor said, how did that feel? Like, how did it feel walking up, you know? So that's the whole thing. It's about living this program, doing it humbly, doing it honestly, and showing people that we can do it. Like, we can do this. We can stay sober throughout our trials and tribulations, which we all have, and we can keep moving forward in our sobriety, right? That's the key.
I know people who have picked up those coins, and they weren't sober.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't earn them.
Yeah.
And those are the toughest stories that I have heard of those people who came correct and talk about it afterwards, that it's part of their story in the past. But those are very difficult stories to hear.
They are. They're incredibly difficult, and maybe some people get pissed off. You know, nothing surprises me when it comes to alcoholics and addicts. Nothing surprised me. I might have told the story before, but my brother was in the program, and he passed away last year, but I remember him talking about, and he always hung around with guys who were in and out, in and out. My brother was in and out for a long time and struggled with this disease and finally did get sober. But I remember one time he was saying that one of his guys he knew came over and stole the lawnmower from my dad when he was living with my dad and pawned it for money. And he was like, yeah, that's just what, you know, that's just what drug addicts do. And I shook my head like, yeah, that's just what drug addicts do. And they were able to get it back and all, but it's like nothing surprises me, right, when somebody's using. So when somebody, you know, if somebody's doing something or you know, somebody's, you know, you got a lot of people who do marijuana maintenance and they say, well, marijuana wasn't my choice of drugs. So I can smoke pot, and as long as I don't drink, I'm going to still call myself sober. And the truth is, I don't have a problem. Like, that's up to them. I could care less what people do. But, you know, obviously that's something for everybody to decide. That wouldn't work for me. But for everybody has to decide what that works for them. For me to be sober is no mind-enhancing substances at all.
And, no, for me too.
You know, I mean, it might be different. You know, I mean, I guess... mind-altering, I guess, is what I meant to say. You know, and I guess that's different if you're under, you know, doctor supervision, and maybe, you know, some people could say some of these psychotic drugs and stuff like that, they're mind-altering too. But as long as they're under doctor supervision, I think that's fine. But to each their own, to each their own. But again, I think it's important. I think it's important. And listen, next week at our Monday night meeting, right, we're going to have you and our buddy Tim. We're going to get up there. We're going to have a bunch of years. It's going to be nice in that group. That's become a nice meeting. We had a couple of women show up a couple of weeks ago, and they said, they're like, oh, we like this meeting. You know, we're going to come. They go to another meeting out in a town, you know, on the other side of the river, and they said, we're going to alternate. We're going to come here once in a while. We're going to go there. She goes, well, we like that. And I love hearing that, right?
Yeah.
I love hearing that. So hopefully they'll be there next week when you get your coin and Timmy gets his coin, and because that's nice to see that, listen, these people have great sobriety, and, you know, keep coming.
Do you have any idea where sobriety coins started?
I do not. That's a good question.
So I'm going to Wikipedia. So take it as that.
Yeah.
That the use in AA, according to Wikipedia, is that it's believed to have originated in 1942 in Indianapolis. The man who began the Alcoholics Anonymous section in Indianapolis, Doherty S., is thought to have started the coin tradition. And there's a Portland, Maine group that began a tradition of using colored poker chips to mark sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of came about. So this is not something that started back when. It's not a Bill W. thing.
No.
There's nothing about chips in or coins in the big book. And I know other fellowships do other things. Like there's the keychain in Narcotics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
There, Frank, who has passed away, Frank C., used to mail people their chips of people that he knew, friends of his. And he would get these very ornate ones, and he would mail it to make sure that they received it in the mail on that day. Because Frank was that type of person. When I say that type of person, he was accurate.
Right.
I could see him being that, like, I'm going to figure out if I drop it in this mail container this day, it will get there on this day. And he was like a person of routine.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're on the Frank list, you will be on the Frank list forever. And I look at that as another great reason. Again, it's not necessarily just about you. It's a way of fellowship that we celebrate together. It's a giving thing.
Yeah, and you know, that's interesting. Like you said, there's a lot of different coins out there, right? And I have a friend who is involved with some people in this program who always get these really nice coins. And I'm talking about they go out and spend $30.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Right. on a nice, beautiful coin. I would never do that, right? Just that doesn't mean
no
anything.
Interest.
Me too. I just don't. But some people do, and that's fine, and I'm okay with that. I really am. I'm okay with that. If that's what they want, if it's that important to them, they want to show it off, they want to have that much pride in it, absolutely. To me, I don't. I don't keep a coin on a key ring. It's down. I have a desk down in my basement in the finished side, which has all my AA stuff in there. Like, I literally, there's AA books. All my stuff is down there in case I work with somebody. And that's where my coins go. The only thing I like to do with my coin is when I can remember, and I just forgot to do this recently with somebody, I like to pass on. I always take two coins of the year. I take one from my Monday night meeting and one from my Friday night meeting. And I always like to pass on one of my coins to one of my sponsees. So if my sponsee has an anniversary and they're in a meeting with me, I like to be the one to present them with that coin. And I always try to remember to give them one of my coins if I can. And if I have them. So, and I like doing that with mine. But that's the only thing I like doing with my coins. Otherwise, they sit in a desk and I don't pay a lot of attention to them.
Mine go in a sock drawer. Right. After I receive it, I'm not really sure what to do with it.
Right.
Which is why I don't, I understand if you have a relationship with somebody, it's a neat gift to show you care to give a more ornate one. That I understand.
Yep.
And I will tell you, if you get me an ornate one, it's going to go in that same sock drawer.
Right.
So in some ways, the dingy ones that are the bargain basement ones that most meetings have is good enough for me.
Not only that some of these things have been around the block many times. Like they're like any type of coin. They're dirty. They have all kinds of dirt on them. They're not clean. And they're not always brand new, because a lot of times people will turn it in. Like I have a collection now. Like I said, and I keep mine. I keep one or two of them just to be able to give them away. But otherwise, I've always turned my stuff back in. I don't take any more than that. But a lot of people, they do. A lot of people, when they get a coin, they'll turn in last year's coin, right? That's what they do. They'll trade it in for the new one. So you have these coins that are recycled, and they're just, like I said, they're just like money. So it's a cool tradition. It's interesting to see. I never even thought about where it started, because it's not an AA tradition. A lot of times people will say when they give out coins, this is not a tradition of AA, but it is a tradition of this meeting to mark lengths of sobriety with coins. And so it's pretty interesting to see where it came about. There's no reason to discount that, it wouldn't be in Indianapolis. Like, who knows where it came from? So I'm sure there are some stories out there about where it came from.
Yeah, anything we're talking about, AA stories, if that's the legend, there are probably 20 unwritten legends. Mm-hmm. This would be a great Bill Shaber question.
It would be.
Bill, where did they really start? And he'd be the one to say, it wasn't Indianapolis. It was really Oklahoma City, or it was Cleveland. There are the myths, and then there's the truth. And in AA stuff, the two are rarely the same.
Yeah. Oftentimes not. It's like the hamburger. And we live in Connecticut, and Connecticut, there's a place, New Haven, that claims they invented the first hamburger. That's one of those things that several other places around, like, no, they didn't do it, we did it.
Is that Lewis Lunch?
Yeah, Lewis Lunch. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, that's supposedly the place that ever put the first hamburger together. Who knows what the lore? What's correct? But I'm not sure it matters, because it's a big tradition in many meetings, and I think most people, certainly in our area, I don't know that anybody isn't offered a coin, put it that way, isn't offered a coin on their anniversary, right? I mean, most meetings that I go to have some type of ability to give out coins for people who, celebrate lengths of sobriety.
Some meetings, it's only for members.
Right.
And in the AA tradition, the reason that you put your name in a book is not that that makes you a member, but it's an organizing way to remember to give you your coin.
Right.
because if you, you know, if you believe that you are a member of the group, you're a member of the group, whether you write it down or not. This is not the type of organization where we have contracts and paperwork. It really is, because we had this fight at the Thursday night meeting about this or that, or this is a member or they're not a member. It was some stupid thing where people are yelling back and forth. And one of the old timers raised his hand and said, it doesn't matter whether your name's in the book or not. If you believe that you're a member of the group, even if you have come in and you've been here for 5 minutes, you're a member of the group.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And, you know, cause your only requirement for membership is a desire to quit drinking, which is why it always, so we got this old timer here. His name is Chip. And he has been going to this meeting on Tuesday night for 25 years, maybe 30 years at this point, every single Tuesday. He doesn't consider himself a member of the group and has never put his name in the book. And when they have the business meeting, he leaves. All right. Dude is a member of the group. Yeah. If you're going every single week and I can rely on you're going to be there, you're just being a stubborn old mule.
Speaking of Chip, I think Chip just celebrated 40 years, didn't he?
No kidding.
Yeah, I think so. Just like last month sometime. I was hoping he would show up because he was coming to our Friday night meeting for a long time, and now he started going somewhere else. And I was hoping he would pop in. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to give him a call. Now that I think I'll have to give him a call and check in and see how he's doing. But yeah, I believe he celebrated 40 years just recently. So
yeah, if you listen to this and you live anywhere near Hartford, Connecticut, you know who Chip is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of those guys that everybody in the state knows him.
Right.
Or knows of him.
You know, he's been around. So if you've been around, you know him, right? If you've been around for any length of time, you know him. Because he's been involved. He's been, you know, the old timers. And this is the interesting thing about some of these things and anniversaries. You think about a guy like that who has 40 years. And then so you think about, okay, you go back, say you go back 37 of those years. And then you have him touch, it becomes one of these 6 degrees of separation things.
Right.
You have him touch somebody else there who has 35 years, right? That goes back, right? Then you end up getting back to Bill Wilson pretty quickly. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it doesn't take much. So, you know, you get these touches of people like Chip who've been around and some of these other guys, mostly like that Thursday night meeting has some huge, you know, huge sobriety guys in that one. They get back there and they touch some really old timers. And even in the local area, guys that I don't know, I heard these names. Everybody knows his name. I don't know these people personally. But you start going, oh, you know, that's all, you know, this guy, that guy, guys who were around forever and who did a lot to help the new upcoming, you know, struggling alcoholic back in the day when it was, you get in the room, you just shut your mouth, and you sit down and listen.
Yes.
You do what you're told. Like, you do what you're told. And, but these guys were tough, but man, they took care of you and they helped a lot of people. They helped a lot of people. Think about all the people that Chip has touched and helped in his 40 years of sobriety. So, and that's why, again, that's why it's important to sort of acknowledge that. And that's why it's important to go. Like I said, Chip was coming to the Monday night meeting and going to the Friday. Like, it's important to touch, you know, touch base with those guys and see, and like, oh, this person is still doing this.
And still active and still taking sponsees.
Still taking sponsees, less than he used to, and certainly doing less service work than he used to. But that's okay. That's okay. This person's 80 years old. Something, you know,
yes.
Like, so yeah, it's okay that they're doing less work, but he shows up all the time, drives himself to meeting. He goes there, he shares. If you need somebody to talk to, he's available to talk to. And yep, if you need a sponsor, I'm sure he'd be willing to sponsor you. He probably is not willing to sponsor a lot of 20-year-old guys anymore. Probably doesn't have that type of energy, you know, but maybe if somebody who has some sobriety is looking for a sponsor, somebody to talk to, somebody to have to be around, he could be the
perfect
guy.
This is a guy who I saw sponsoring a lot of 20-year-old guys.
Right.
Guys.
Oh, he did for a long time.
It was always a weird thing to see that.
I agree.
all the 20-year-olds are all around him, this old codger.
I agree. I mean, I used to see some of the people he was sponsoring and go, man, that's kind of right. Like, this old guy is still sponsoring a lot of these guys, you know? Like I said, I think that's waned a little bit, but he's done his share. He's done his share.
I like his talk track when he talks about why he stepped back from things, and his talk is other people have to step up. Mm-hmm. I've done it. I have to make way for other people.
Yeah.
And I like the old timer attitude of that. Like, he is not one of those people, you know, shut your mouth. His mindset is, are you brand new? I would rather you open your mouth than me, because I need to get to know you. You need to share more than me because you need the relief.
That's who Chip is today.
Yes.
You're right. I'm not sure that's who Chip is, 30 Chip years ago.
Last 10 years.
That is who he is today. And there's no question about it. You know, that he wants to hear what the newcomer says. He wants to hear. And it's true. And listen, I feel the same way. I sit back on a lot of things. I don't mind doing service work. I don't mind speaking if there's speaking engagements to do. I don't mind doing a lot of the service work. But I do think it's important that other people do it too. Not only newcomers, but other people even with some time. I think it's very important, and I think it's very important for the health of a meeting to make sure that service work is being spread around so that other people can do it.
Yeah, you can't have institutional knowledge. You can't have that concentrated in one person. And there are plenty of meetings like that.
Absolutely.
But the healthiest attitude is, if you have some time, do something to share with somebody newer or less experienced so that can live on. And I think I am just thinking about this talking now, the whole idea of if you're getting that chip, second question should be, who have you touched during that time? What impact? Okay, you got a 10-year. Because I've seen people who get like 29 years, and their sobriety is not what I would want for myself.
Right.
Time does not equal quality of sobriety.
No.
I have seen people who have 6 months sobriety who I would be jealous of.
Absolutely.
But, okay, I've got this coin. I want to think about, what impact did I make? How did I help somebody else in this time? And did it exponentially grow every time I get a chip? I don't know how well I've done with that every single time, but it's aspirational.
You bring up something really good about, like, we just talk about how, you know, maybe it's not that big of a deal. It's nice to do it for other people, but it might be a great time to pick up a chip and reflect on, hey, what have I done the last year?
Yeah.
What have I done? And what do I want to do in the year coming, right? That's a really great way to sort of take a look at that anniversary and maybe make it useful. Like, what did I do? What would I like to do different or better? One of the things, because I've talked about recently, like, I'm GSR, and I've talked about maybe doing a little bit more GSR. Last year, all I did was went to meetings, took notes, picked up flyers, didn't do anything. And this year, I'm feeling like, okay, maybe I should do a little bit more. And I have done a little bit more. But that's a great way, I think, to look at it. You know, what do you do around? If you're out there listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get in touch with us. Send us a note. I was like, here's what I do. Here's how I celebrate my anniversary. Here's how I put it to work. Give us some feedback and some ideas as to what you do with that, so that maybe we could talk about it on here and start some new traditions for new people.
Mm-hmm. This is why I like to go to meetings outside my area or hear about it. Like Mark S. on Recovered talks about the table meetings that they have. There are some groups that have cakes and celebrations mm-hmm. and stuff. Where I go, it's much more low key. You get a chip. But I am interested in what other people do, because although you follow the 12 steps, meetings are radically different. Even if it's like a speaker meeting, the nature of the speaker meeting is so radically different, and right. there are different regions. If you're in a different country, what do you do differently? We have heard from people who are overseas. Yeah, that would be a good one. Matt at soberfriendspod.com, Instagram @soberfriendspod. We would love to get a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to tell us what you like, because we read all of this stuff. Steve, thanks for doing this and help. This is what somebody asked me, what are you doing special for your anniversary? I go, I'm podcasting with Steve.
That's it.
Trying not to kill somebody today.
That's
so
it.
I did that barely, but yeah, I was successful. I go, I didn't kill somebody today when I wanted
to. That's my line.
Yep.
All right, Matt, have a great night.
Yeah, and everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
You made it this far into the podcast. That tells me you're a pretty big fan. If you like what we do and you find value in the podcast, consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod. Your donation keeps us on the air to help out the new guy and helps us defray some of our costs. If you find value in our podcast, please consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod.